have people that, let's say, they get their degrees, they often forget about God because they can have a better way of living through their resources. But she still knows that the Lord is God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Matthew, chapter 3. And we're continuing as the Spirit leads us through the Gospel of Matthew. We've talked about Joseph in the Bible, but now we're turning to a different man by the name of John the Baptist. And the Bible is going to give us some things about him. While Joseph in the Bible was a quiet man and he pondered a lot of things, we find that John the Baptist was a more vocal, forceful, preaching the Word of God. But he's going to say some powerful things to us today. Matthew chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2, we find these words. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "You repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God bless the reading of his word. We're going to preach on the subject, repentance is the key. You may be seated. Amen. Father, thank you for your holy word. And I ask that you would now speak through me as I've studied and prepared myself for this message. Lord, I ask that you would pour out of me what you poured into me, that the people would receive that which thus saith the Lord and not what man says. God, I praise you and I honor you today for this wonderful truth that you've revealed to me, that repentance is a good thing. Amen. Repentance can get us into the kingdom, but we have to use that key. Bless us in our time together. It may indeed be time well spent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Automatically, some of you have turned us off already because you don't like the word repentance. But could it be that you don't understand what it means and what it can do for you? John the Baptist came preaching a simple message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Think about those words. And I also want you to think about the keys that you have. A lot of you have keys and they will give you access to different things, both at home and at work. Some of you have keys to safe deposit boxes where you have valuable things that you've stored. You use those keys because those keys are vital to you. Now listen to what John is saying. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John is telling you, you can get access to the kingdom of heaven by one thing. Not by what you do, not by what you have, not based on who you are, but one thing. And it's interesting that when Jesus, after he was baptized by John, Jesus preached and told his disciples to preach the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, somewhere in our mind, we've got it twisted. I don't like that word. I don't like it because it doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't talk about blessings. It doesn't talk about good things that I want to hear. So I don't like the word repentance. So today we're going to spend a little time and we're going to talk about this. And the reason why we're going to talk about it is because until we preach God's word the way that it ought to be preached, we will never see revival in America. We will never see a turning to God if we never tell people turn to God. People feel that they are okay within themselves. I'm doing all right. I'm okay. And ladies and gentlemen, none of us in this congregation today are okay. There are things that you don't know about that could be happening in your body right now. Number one, all of us are aging. All of us. And eventually it will mean that your life will come to an end. And that's not a bad thing if you've done one thing, and that is you've turned to God. So let's look at this today. John preached this. As a matter of fact, the Bible said he came preaching, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. And it had been prophesied by Isaiah that this John would come and would declare this word. He baptized in the wilderness and he preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. John preached for a reason. He wanted people to know that you've missed the mark. He wanted people to know that you've transgressed against God. And the Bible said, people in multitudes, in droves, they came to hear the word of the Lord. Nowadays, people think, well, I don't necessarily need it. It may not apply to me. So I want to help you out with that. I want you to get it straight in your mind, because as much as you use the key to get into your house, as much as you use the key to start your vehicle, this key of repentance is far more important than any other key that you'll ever use in your life. You need to be aware of what God is saying. So the goal of this message, number one, learn how to repent. What does that mean? And as we go along, we're going to share with you what that means, because it's not as complicated as you think it is. It's very easy. God never gives us anything that is impossible for us to do. The second thing we're going to talk about, why should we repent? Why repent? I mean, I'm doing okay. Things are going good. Are they really? We may need to check ourselves. And I can tell you that not only are we getting older, but we lack something. You ever feel like something is missing? Something ought to be there that is not there. Maybe joy. Maybe it could be peace of mind. Maybe we're pondering something that we're not certain. And so this little key can help us. Thirdly, we need to know when to repent. It's not just once upon a time. Well, I accept the Lord a long time ago, gave my life to God, got saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'm all right. That's what a lot of people say. But are you growing in Christ? I've seen people, I've seen Christians lose their joy. Why is that? Because they don't know how to repent. They want to give a testimony about the goodness of God, but they have no enthusiasm about them. Ladies and gentlemen, God is a wonderful God. He's not a long-faced God up in heaven waiting to strike you with lightning the first time you mess up. He gives you this wonderful thing called repentance, where at any time, you can use that. Turn to God, and things can be made right because of the abundance of his grace. So we need to learn how to repent, why to repent, and when should we repent. I want to tell you this, that there's a lying spirit that's been released in the earth. And it didn't just start recently. It started in the Garden of Eden. It started when Satan said through the serpent, "Hath God said?" Did God really say this? And now people are questioning God. And they're really asking the question, is God real? Then if you are going to deal with this lying spirit, then something has got to change in you. Something has got to turn. You know, if you're going in the wrong direction, if you're headed toward Danville, but you're going 29 north through Lynchburg, something ought to tell you in your mind, I need to turn. I'll never get down south by trying to go north. When John preached this message, when he shared with people what God had said to him, he said, now, I want you to do one thing. You'll not get anything else right in your life until you do this one thing. Repent. Turn from your own way and turn to the way of the living God. Now, I know some of you are saying, oh, Pastor, this is just a simple message. You know what? Sometimes we need to get back to our ABCs. Because life gets so confusing, maybe you need to get back to basics. Maybe you need to go back to the fundamental things and ask God, Lord, what's going on? What's going on? Constantly I'm asking God, what's going on? And I'm not asking God, fix the world. I'm asking God, do something with me. Because if he can do something in me and with me, I'm not worried about the world. I'm looking at what's going to happen through the day, or during the day that I'm living. Amen? So how do you deal with this lying spirit? You repent. You change your mind. You don't allow it to affect you. You don't allow it to come into your mind. And one lie we tell ourselves, you know what? I am surely good. You know, I am a good-natured person. How many of y'all tell yourself that? Come on, be honest with me. Amen. Yeah, I'm a good person compared to. But the Bible said there's none righteous. No, not one. Anytime you stand before the Lord or you stand next to Jesus Christ, you're going to find yourself woefully lacking in everything. But thank God you don't have to worry about it, because when you turn to him and admit to him, Lord, I ain't got it. He's the one that supplies all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So you got to know how to repent. How do you repent? I want to give you a couple things here. Very quick, I'm going to go through this. Number one is conviction. Conviction. A lot of times we hear something or we do something and we think we're right, but then all of a sudden we find out we're wrong and we get convicted. We say to ourselves, this is not right. This is not the way that I should be looking at this particular situation. This is not right. And so that conviction begins to come over us. And contrary to what people believe, conviction is not just for sinners. It is for saints as well. Amen. Let me tell you something. We do a whole lot of judging other folk. Come on, talk to me, somebody. We do a whole lot. What we do is we put on the lab coat, amen? We put on the laboratory coat, and when we go to talk to people, they're wrong, we're right. Help me, somebody. We got our little clipboard to tell them every failure in their own life, but roll back the tape a little bit. Amen. Run back the video a little bit. Remember when you were in the place where you didn't have stuff right. But when we get convicted, when we understand that we're not all that, it's only because of the grace of God, the mercy of God, that we have anything. We're under conviction. But then the second thing that happens to us, not only should we be convicted that we're wrong, we need to confess. Now, confess does not mean, yeah, I robbed a bank. That's not what he's talking about. Confession means to say what God says, to speak what God is saying about you. God did not create you. He did not create your life to be a failure. He didn't create you to be, amen, always at the bottom. Say what God says about you. That is what confession is all about. So when John said this, and he was talking to people who had been beat up by life, they were struggling to find their next meal. And John said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'll give folks keys, but I ain't gonna give you my house key unless I know you. I'm sorry, amen. You can be a nice person, but I can let you in my house if I don't know you. Now, if I know you, everything is all right. But here's God saying, "Let me give you the keys to my house." But one thing you got to do, you got to know how to use it. Confession is when you say what God says about you and about me, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ rather than Bill Coleman being Lord. Amen? Are you with me? You see what I'm saying? Because every time you make God great, then God makes you great. But every time you make yourself great, then God has to bring you down. If you exalt yourself, amen, I'm going to bring you down. That's what God said. But if you humble yourself, I will exalt you. Who in the world would do that? Except God, amen? But then the third thing that you got to have contrition. Because a lot of us will say we're sorry, but deep down on the inside, we're just sorry we got caught. That's all. We just sorry it turned out the way it did. But when you have contrition, as Les Brown said, you get two whippings in life. One whipping is just wait till I get back. And so what a lot of people, they have that contrition, just wait till I get it together and I'm going to do it again. But when you have the second whipping in life that he talks about, and that is, I'm never going to do that again. If I ever get through this, how many of y'all ever been there? If I can ever get things straight from here, I ain't going back there anymore, and I'm done. Am I right? Do y'all say I'm done? I'm done. That's it. Amen. Contrition. Contrition. But then the fourth thing, commitment. Commitment. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and your path will be established. All of this is encompassed in the word repent, because when you turn to God, which is all you can do, God's going to take you through the process. That's why we read about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, or what the old folks used to call the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit comes into your life, and yes, people respond to the Holy Spirit different ways, but the same result is that he changes your life for good. Some people shout, some people dance, some people speak in tongues, you know. But the main thing he comes to do is to get your life right. Get you to the place where you know God and God knows you. And you. And can I tell you what it's like? It's when you learn to walk right, when you learn to talk right and live right for the glory and honor of God. But you got to commit to it. Now, let's just stop right. Let's pause right here. And let me ask you a question. Are you satisfied with your life by yourself? Or do you want something more? And what John says, I'm going to preach this message to you. And what I want you to do, I want you to respond to this message, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, what did they have in that day? They had the kingdom of Rome. And what the Romans were doing was taxing them, taking their stuff, mistreating them. Here they were supposed to be God's people, and yet they were in bondage in their own homeland. So they said, we need something better. And some of us in this life, life may be good, but it ain't great. You ain't crying out like Tony the Tiger every morning. Amen? You see how rotten life can be some days and how miserable it can be. But in God, despite of all the misery, he comes to make your life complete. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But you got to turn from your own life to the life of God. Y'all ready to go deep on this? Now, I've told you how to repent, but let's look at some other things. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. Godly sorrow, not just I'm sorry that it turned out this way. And I love this one with most Christians. If I offended you, you know. I ain't even comment on that one. If I said something to you, you know you said something wrong. No if about it. And we all do it. That's the point. We all do it, because when we're speaking, we think we're right, because all of our emotions say, amen, don't say that. And everything that we've learned, our intellect says, you know you told them right that time. But up in heaven, God says, I'm the only judge here. If you express your vengeance, then I'm just going to stand back. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, say the Lord. Amen. Godly sorrow works repentance. When God shows you, when God reveals to you, when the Holy Spirit convicts you, something is not right. Stop at that point and ask yourself, do I need my key? If you stand in front of your house that you make mortgage payments on and the key don't fit the lock, because you picked the wrong one, and you get mad and ring the doorbell like you crazy, because this is your house, right? Oh, I'm sorry. That happened to me in front of my own house and using the wrong key. Some of us, we use the wrong key. Key of talent. Key of ability. Or the way that Simon the sorcerer in the book of Acts, he said, I got money. Let me buy this thing with money. I'll do anything to get it. And the one thing that God says we need to do is to repent. Just change your mind. And it's amazing when John the Baptist preached that message, people came from the cities and villages and they wanted to hear. And as the evidence that they had repented, they were baptized. Now, we still baptize in the church. We still baptize. We don't baptize after John, because when Jesus came, all John could do was take you up to the door. All right? Jesus had to give us access. All John could say is, I'm sorry for my sin, but then God had to do the rest of it. John said, I'm just a forerunner. In other words, I'm just the one that goes before him, but he that comes after me, Lord have mercy, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with some fire. Amen. If somebody tells you that they are Christian and they don't have any fire about them, yeah, okay, go ahead. Go right. Like my mama said, go ahead then. Because if you have the Spirit of God, you're going to have some joy, enthusiasm in your life to express what Jesus really means to you. Amen. Come on, give the Lord amen on that one. All right. Give you a couple of Old Testament examples of people who didn't have godly sorrow. First one was Esau. Esau did not respect his birthright. Sold it for a bowl of stew. And then his brother Jacob, which was tricky, you know, that's what his name, trickery, he took his birthright. And he took also his blessing. And the Bible tells us later that Esau came in, wanted the blessing, cried, but wasn't willing to live right to get it because he didn't have godly sorrow. Another man in the Old Testament by the name of King Saul, he had disobeyed God, didn't pay attention to what God said. God said, now, I want you to go in and I want you to destroy the Amalekites. That's another sermon for another time, because a whole lot of us got stuff hanging around in our life that should have been destroyed a long time ago. Well, it still looks nice. I'm just going to put it on the shelf. I'm not going to really deal with it right now. Amen. Still got habits in your life that you had before you got saved. Hello. And you tell God, Lord, work on me. You don't really want God to work on you. You got this living room mentality. Just, Lord, you stay in the living room. All right? And a living room is a place where nobody goes in that room. I don't know why in the world they call it that. Got the furniture with this old plastic stuff over top of it. Every time you sit down, it goes squeak, squeak, squeak. And a lot of us as Christians, we have that living room mentality. God, you can stay here in the living room, but don't go to the rest of the house because it's a mess. And God says, I want to clean up the mess. I want to get at the mess of your life and to show you that I really am God. King Saul was told to do something. He didn't do it. And later on, he tried to repent. He told Samuel, worship, because, you know, we got a whole lot of folk looking at us. So we need to go on and worship because I want to save face. Don't ever do things to please people. Amen. He sought for repentance, but could not find it. At the end of his house, the end of his life, rather, he's seeking guidance through a soothsayer rather than getting on his knees and telling God, I messed up and I need to repent. Ladies and gentlemen, repentance is one of the most wonderful things that you'll ever experience in your life. God is long-suffering, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9. God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me tell you what it means to perish. It's not just the hell that you're going to, but it's the hell that you're living in. When you change your mind, when you start saying, Lord, you tell me what I need to know. I'm going to tell you something. People can live life and not be free. Got stuff in their mind that they can't turn off. I want to tell you something. My father, they didn't even know what he had, but it was, now they've called it post-traumatic stress. He was in World War II, and he did something that violated his conscience. He had to kill another human being. And my father did not realize or couldn't bring himself to the point of accepting God's forgiveness for that, even though it was in a time of war, it said in the Bible, thou shalt not kill. But it also said that all of our sins were laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He struggled with that. Struggled with that. What keeps people in bondage today, they've got this tape or this replay that Satan keeps playing over and over and over again. It's been 20 years and you're still replaying that old tape. It keeps recycling. And the sad fact is, you can't stop it. Certain times of the day, certain moments in your life when it'll just hit replay, and there you go, lifeless. You got to live that whole experience all over again. But let me tell you something. There's something wonderful called repentance. You don't have to bear that guilt. You don't have to bear that shame, because nothing is more powerful than the glory and the power of God Almighty. And let me tell you something. We've got church folk that are still in bondage. And you can be set free. You can be delivered just by saying, Lord, I want to change my mind. Matter of fact, Lord, I'm not just going to change my mind. I'm going to let you change my mind. Can I tell you the old-time theology? Oh, he's a heart regulator. He's a mind fixer. The Lord will turn things around if we simply say, Lord, I need you. Don't continue to live in that misery and that agony when you can turn to God and know that he is Lord. There are a lot of times in life we go through things and all we need to do is say, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to give this burden. How many of y'all have burdens sometimes? And you carry them for a couple of days, and you say to yourself, okay, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. A couple of days go by, and that burden got heavier because the devil said, well, you're going to carry that one, put something else on you. I'm going to give you something else to worry about. And you got all this burden. And then it finally dawns on you, wait a minute. I can pray. I can ask God, and the Lord will bless me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's called repenting. Because what you're doing is you're setting your affection and your mind on God. You're turning away from your own burden and you're saying, Lord, I want to turn to you. Does that mean something? You're getting it? You feeling it click in your mind? You cannot change the past. Only thing that you can do is let it go. Why are you holding on to it like it's valuable coins? Why are you saying it's going to change when it's in the past? You have no authority. And what repentance does, it brings you into the now. And it says, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Not yesterday, but this is the day. Some of y'all getting set free. I can see it. I can see those. I can hear it clicking in your mind. Yeah, that's right, preacher. I needed that. Thank you, preacher. Don't relive your last experience. This is a new day. Amen. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Just in case you're thinking, well, I know I'm right. I know my thoughts are right. God says, no, they're not. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. I used to come to God with these good ideas and these brilliant things that I thought up. And then God would unravel it like, that's not what I told you. I told you that this is what works. You walk by faith and not by sight. You're going to trust me. Because I'm your way maker. You're going to depend on me because I'm your burden bearer. I'm your friend that I'll always be with you. But you got to change your mind. And ladies and gentlemen, when God frees your mind, you can say, you know what? I want to mount up with wings like eagles, I'm going to run and not be weary. I'm going to walk and not faint because I'm free. Thank God I am free. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Romans 12, 2. Don't be conformed to this world. Why are we saying that? Because a lot of times in our life, we'll look at what we're doing, we'll look at our life, and we know that we're released from sin, but our mind is still not renewed. Romans 12, 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I had one of the kids, Trey Clements, he came in the other day, and he showed me this little toy that he had, and I thought it was just a car. He said, it's a transformer. Then he took the car and flipped it and showed how that it stood up like a man. Said, see, it can fight. You know, a lot of times we say we're only human. But when you repent and turn to God, it transforms the way you think, the way you live, and the way that you act, so that you would know what God's perfect will is for your life. And you say, wait a minute, preacher, I don't know about God's will for my life. You can know it for today. You can know it for today because God gives you every day the daily supply of everything that you need. And when tomorrow comes, guess what? He's going to show you that as well. Amen? Amen. I don't know about the future, but what I know is he'll hold the future in his own hands. And you've got to trust him. Amen? God is good. Be transformed. When you start saying to yourself, Lord, I'm going to turn from my own way, God transforms your mind so that you think differently. Now, I know a lot of you call it maturity or getting old. But no, the Lord had to work with you. Because it's a whole lot of old folk think they still in their teens. Talk to me up in here. You need to shake yourself and wake yourself. You're not as young as you think you are. Old folk need to go home. Hanging out there late at night talking about, I'm going to the party. Lord have mercy. You know you can't even see at night. No, Jesus. When we pay attention to God and his perfect will, the wonderful plan that he has for our life, when we turn our attention from pursuing our own way, because remember, that's what happened to Israel. They pursued their own way, and it ended to be a dead end. I'm not getting anywhere because you're pursuing life your way. And God says, I have a perfect way. I have a perfect will and a perfect plan for you. Jeremiah 29, it says that I know the plans or the thoughts that I have for you, plans for good and not evil, and to bring you to an expected end. So what? It happened yesterday. Today you're still alive. Today you're still blessed. And God says, you're part of his kingdom. So when John preached this message of repentance, he was trying to reach people, trying to tell them, listen, get ready for God's plan. Get ready for the Lord and get ready for the wonderful things he has for your life. People listen. Today we preach it through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that Jesus has a plan for every one of our lives. He has never failed yet. He's brought us through things. We had to face different things. But through Christ, we can do all things. Amen? Amen? Through Christ, we are more than conquerors. I close with this verse, 2 Chronicles 7, 14, and it really gives the perfect meaning for what repentance is all about. 2 Chronicles 7, 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. How many of you are seeking God's face? Lord, I love you today. Lord, I thank you today. Lord, I worship you today. And then turn from your wicked ways. You know, it's our wicked ways is kind of like the two-year-old in a toy store. He wants everything. I want that. Have you ever tried to control a two-year-old in a toy store? I remember one time that Jay, he's that age, and we'd gone through the store, and I told him, I'll buy you one thing. It didn't work. So he got in the floor. He decided, you know what? I'm going to throw a tantrum. You know what I did? I got in the floor right beside him. When he'd scream, I'd scream. He'd yell, and I knew I looked like an idiot. But I tried to tell him, son, you can't have it. You can't have it. Then he finally figured out, well, Dad, if you're willing to go through all of that, I guess maybe I'll stop my ranting and raving. And you know what God did? You know the wonderful thing that God did? It talks about turning away from your sin, but really, many of us were so stuck in sin, we couldn't get out. And Jesus came to bear your sin. The penalty you should have paid, he paid it. That we would have everlasting life. When you turn to God, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen to your past. You simply need to say, Lord, I'm willing to trust you. He says, then, God says, then, my people humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I'm going to hear from heaven. Now, that's really all you need. That's really all you need, but that's not all you're going to get. How many of y'all read your insurance policy? And you got those premium policies where one policy says, well, we'll put you back up something, or we'll pay for the car based amortization or some type of depreciation schedule, which means you ain't gonna get the same car back. Now, no one would sell a policy that said, yeah, you wrecked a little Pinto, but I'm gonna give you a Cadillac. you don't sell policies like it, right? Yeah. You lost a three-bedroom house, but I'm going to give you a mansion. Nobody does that but God. He says, then when I hear from heaven, I will forgive your sins and will heal the land. Ladies and gentlemen, we say that we want healing in our land. If you don't turn to God, healing ain't going to come. But when you turn to God, quit complaining, quit talking about this and that. Turn your face toward heaven and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I want you in my life. Lord, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help do I know. If you withdraw your grace from me, where, Lord, can I go? It's not about this. It's not about that. It's about God. And when you turn to God, he'll make a way out of no way. Turn to him. Turn to him. Turn to him. Quit being distracted. Quit letting the other stuff keep you from. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him. I saw this little girl one time. She sang with a choir, and the choir didn't have but four members. Didn't have but four members. They were a group out of North Carolina. I mean, you talking about some singing folk. I didn't say singing. I said singing folk. This little girl, about 4 years old, she was singing beside her mother. And all the time, she looked up at her mother and kept singing. And the people going, oh, that little girl, she kept looking at her mother. Because she knew that her mother was going to give her the next words that she needed for her song. She kept her eyes on the one that cared for her. Ladies and gentlemen, this world does not love you. This world could care less about you. But when you keep your eyes on the Lord, keep your mind on him. Keep your soul fixed on him. He'll make a way out of no way. He'll lead you. He will guide you. And he'll keep you because you trusted the Lord. And the only thing I need to do is just make sure I got my key. Make sure, Brother Bowler, make sure I got my key. I don't know whether you lost your key, but I got mine. I'm going to turn to him. I'm going to repent. I'm going to say, Lord, I want to change my mind. I want to change my way of thinking. My way of looking at life, and I want you to get all the glory and all the praise because you're worthy. Isn't he worthy? Amen. Praise God. The Lord is worthy. And he says to us, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, let me get this right. I give him my little stuff that's all messed up, right? I give him my junk, you know. He's going to give me his kingdom. Wait a minute. You mean I'll give him my trash? He'll give me his glory. That's what it means. I give him my tears. He'll give me his joy. I give him my trouble. He gives me his peace. Ah, some of y'all are not getting it yet. I give him my brokenness. He gives me his healing. As a matter of fact, he flings open the doors of heaven and say, whosoever will, let him come on in. Let him come on in. I don't know about you. I'm going in. I'm going to step. I'm going to step in. I'm going to step in. I'm stepping into this. I'm getting into this. Leave that stuff behind. Look, I'm getting rid of this. Leave that stuff behind. I got Jesus. I got Jesus. That's enough for me. I don't want nothing else. Just let it go. Besides, when I get to the kingdom, I thought that suit was fine. He got a brand new robe over in glory. Kingdom of heaven. Pick my coat up because I still need it for a few more days. I ain't there yet. But thank God for this wonderful key. Thank God for something great that he's given to us. I don't have to go around in misery. I don't have to go around burdened. I can just experience the freedom because I learned to turn to God and away from my own mess. How good is that? Amen. We're going to open the doors of the church. If there be one today, there be one today. Let's all stand. Maybe you're saying, preacher, how do I do that? It's very simple. Just say, Lord, you know me. You know where I am. And you know what I need. Lord, help me to turn my attention to you. He'll do the rest. If you open your heart and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need your grace. He'll do the rest. He'll pardon your sin. He'll fill you with power. And you'll be a child of God. Amen?
Amen.
So there's one today. There's one today. Will you come?